Welcome to Shotgun Story, where the game show, live from Club Fe-Dodo in Los Angeles. Please turn off your cell phones, and if you haven't done so already, do it now. And now, we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
You guys, welcome to Shotgun Storyworthy, the fast-paced game of truth. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney. We're coming to you live from Cab Club Fe-Dodo in Los Angeles' mid-city.
Woo!
Mid-city, not Sim City.
That's right. And, you know, we are very happy to be here tonight, folks, because we think we have really flushed out this game show. You may have seen it before, but this is different.
Yes, you haven't seen anything like this. We have streamlined this game. Today, we have 8 contestants total instead of how many did we have before? 6-7 million?
It was something like that. That's right. But now there's only 8 contestants, Hannes. 8 contestants are going to come up here on this stage and tell a true 1-minute story, and then all of America will vote as to who goes on.
Okay, we don't really have time for all of America to vote, but we too have 2 judges on stage, and they will decide which 4 storytellers move on to round 2.
That's right. Now I remember. That's exactly right. Yeah. There are some changes to this show. There are 3 rounds now. Did you know that, Hannes?
3 rounds, 3 times the excitement. That's the way I like to think about it.
So there's like round 1, and that's 8 contestants.
Right. And we cut it down by half to 4.
To 4. And then there's a 3rd round.
Cut it down to 2. Can you feel the tension building? It's like Survivor. It's like Dancing with the Stars, except we have bigger stars than Dancing with the Stars does, you know.
All right, let's get right to it, folks. We have 7 storytellers here tonight who have been on the Storyworthy podcast.
Yes.
And this is how we know they're good.
That's right. They bring it.
They've been on the show.
Tell us their names.
I'm going to tell you who's coming up tonight. Jim Coughlin, Evan Gore, Sharon Houston, Kevin McGeehan, Nikki Levy, Bill Ratner, and Wendy Wilkins. All 7 of those storytellers will be right here spinning that wheel and talking into that microphone.
That's right. And 1 lucky audience member will join them. So if you, I'm pointing at you, sir, are interested in coming up here and spinning the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth, put your name on the slip of paper on the table and get your name in the Storyworthy Bag of Truth. And we will collect the names of truth in just a few minutes.
That's exactly
of
right. Of truth, that's right.
Yep.
So let's get started right away. We're going to introduce you to the judges this evening who are going to go over the rules. Now, our first judge is Gary Buckler. He is a senior producer of The Moth LA, so he has heard a few stories. Am I right?
He's heard a ton of them, I tell you what.
You could actually call him the story authority. And, Hannes, you know, Gary is also the father of 4.
4 what?
4 children. 4 children, Hannes. And it's interesting.
I didn't write that joke, ladies and gentlemen.
I called him and I say, Gary, would you be interested in judging our event this evening? And he says,
yes.
I mean, immediately.
He just wants to get the F out of the house.
That's exactly right. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Please, I'm surrounded by poop. Please, for God's sakes.
To go over the rules, we have Gary Buckler. There you are, Gary Buckler.
Coming up, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, he's going to go over the rules in 1 minute. That's what he's going
to
do.
This will prove to you how long a minute can be.
Exactly.
It can be a long time, especially when Gary's talking. It's a long. I kid.
Do you have the clock? Do you have the timer on you, Hannes? Hannes is.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. So you are going to run the clock. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm going to run the clock all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and start, Gary, and we'll start the clock.
Ladies and gentlemen, the rules. Spin the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth, and don't touch it again. The clock will start when you begin speaking. Say the name of the topic, and then begin your true story. No notes on stage. Contestants are being judged on 3 things: story, time, and ability to stay on topic.
Yes.
Each category is rated between 1 and 10. We then add and compare our totals. The shotgun goes off at 1, 2, or 3 minutes, depending on the round. And if you keep within the time limit, you will not get shot.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a threat. If you are deducted 1 point if the gun goes off, an additional point for every 10 seconds you go over, and if you move them onto the 2nd and 3rd rounds and land the same topic, then we defer to the topic to the left.
Okay, Gary Buckler, those are the rules.
57-69, ladies and gentlemen.
Have a seat over here, friend.
He was not shot. Now, he was not shot.
That's exactly right. Now, see, there are three categories. They're judging between 1 and 10. So let's say you're a storyteller, you're a contestant, you come up here tonight, and you stay under your time limit, then you don't hear a shotgun, then you get a 10 in that category. You see what I mean, Hannes?
I see what you mean. So what you want to do is avoid hearing the shotgun, which is good advice at all times.
In Los Angeles.
Especially in Los Angeles, yes.
It really is. So, again, the first round is 1 minute each. That's something that they should know.
That's right. And the second round is?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. And the third round, guess it, people?
Three.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Geniuses.
All right. And now it's time to introduce you to our other judge, and her name is Annabelle Gurwitch. Now, Annabelle is a writer
Annabelle
and an actress.
Is a crowd.
You may remember her many years ago from hosting Dinner and a Movie. Annabelle also wrote a bestseller, You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up. And this was co-written with her husband, a writer and a comic named Jeff Kahn. And this is
Jeff Kahn.
Very, very funny, ladies and gentlemen. This is a funny book.
It is a funny book. And also a little dirty.
It's a lot dirty.
It's a lot dirty? Good, good. That's good.
But it's very accurate. And I think that that's the best thing
about
this
book. What's the dirtiest part of this book? Tell me.
Well, I will say this. Her husband likes her to sit on her face.
And I
like
think
her to sit on his face.
See, I know. If she sits on her face, then it's not only dirty, it's highly athletic and to be commended.
And now this
She's
book, Tomato,
to stage,
has been
gentlemen.
Adapted as a theatrical play. It's currently in its first national tour of theaters across the U.S. What's interesting about this is that different people now are playing Jeff and Annabelle.
Yes, they are.
Exactly.
And I just feel I've never actually been introduced with the last line of like, and sitting on the face.
Now, hang on now.
Hang on. She's got, there's a couple of hundred more lines of the intro.
Oh, okay. I'll just listen.
Annabelle has also been on a variety of talk shows, including Real Time with Bill Maher.
I did.
She is currently writing a new book called Fucking 50.
I am.
And here's the thing. You can actually get a copy of this book. You can hear this book. She says she writes a single chapter
on the
website zolabooks.com. Z-O-L-A books.com.
Like Emile Zola.
That's right. And it's coming out November 14th.
Right.
Hannes, what else do you see on the zolabooks.com?
I believe she's not going to like this, but Annabelle posed nude for the cover of that book.
I did.
Yes.
Annabelle is nude at zolabooks.com. So she has that going for her.
And yet is shocked by the sitting on the face comment. So
well,
what
you know, one is sort of like, you know, a single pose and one is an action that makes, you know, the imagination go to a different place.
And currently Annabelle is rehearsing a new play called Coney Island Christmas, which will open at the Geffen Playhouse.
It is.
On November 20th. The
it
Geffen
does.
Playhouse, Hannes, this isn't messing around.
Yes. No, this is big time play acting.
And
it
it's
is.
A large ensemble piece, and it should
is.
Be very funny. Coney Island Christmas. So we look forward to that.
Kevin Costner.
Thank
is
you.
Kevin Costner in it?
Kevin Costner is not in it. But if you see one play that takes place in the 1930s with a strident Jewish mother in Brooklyn this year, make that a Coney Island Christmas.
Annabelle, you've
at the
just
Geffen
described
Theater.
95% of all plays ever done anywhere.
All right, That's you guys, true. You can find her right here on stage or at AnnabelleGurwitch.com.
Thank
Please
you.
Put
you
your
can.
Hands together for Annabelle Gurwitch.
Hello.
Woo!
Okay, I'm going to go sit down now, right?
No, why don't you
go ahead
and play the game if you'd like to and tell us about your experience in game shows.
Oh, okay. I will not be playing. Okay, this is a quick story. I'm not playing the game. And I actually told Christine this is it's a big night for me because I am game show afeared. If I can conjugate in that. Uh-oh, sounding dirty. In that way, I have a fear of game shows, and it all is because I was on the Hollywood Squares. And I bombed. It was so terrible. I mean, I was one of those people who grew up watching the Hollywood Squares, and it was so beautiful, and the lighting made everyone look great, and they were so funny, and I thought they were actually drinking in their squares. But when I got there, it was the new Hollywood Squares, and it turns out you weren't allowed to drink in your squares.
Ooh.
And not only that, but you know how on TV the squares look so glamorous? The squares in real life were this like rickety construction that you had to get to your square by going up a spiral staircase that I saw was held together by a Band-Aid. There was a Band-Aid on my, and you got individual staircases. And I get into the square, and I became terrified that it was going to collapse, and I was going to fall on top of Whoopi Goldberg's head. And I couldn't concentrate because I have a fear of heights, and I have a fear of falling out of windows, or more rather that I will be compelled to jump out of a window if it's open for some reason. It's this crazy thing. So I kept thinking, am I going to fall out of the square? Am I going to be compelled to jump out of the square? And then the game started and I forgot. Was I supposed to be trying to play the game to help the people, or was I playing against the people? And that's when I started to get mean. And I started to work against the people, and then people started avoiding my square, even when they would win. It was, they wouldn't pick Annabelle, and they were pronouncing my name, Annabelle Gurwitch, Annabelle Gurnage, Annabelle Garwitch. It just became this terrible nightmare, and no one picked my square for the last three games. You took 7 games in a row, and the last 3 games, not one person picked my square. It was... thank you. So I'm breaking my no game show rule tonight. Woo! So I'm very excited to be here. So I'm hoping I will not be compelled to throw myself from this stage at the end. So I'm really excited to judge, and I'm pretty easy as a judge. So I'm really excited, guys. I'm going to go sit down now and get ready.
All right, Annabelle Gurwitch. Annabelle Gurwitch, yay.
All right, it's time to get started. Now, let's collect the audience names.
Because
Joe,
the winner tonight gets $100. You know that.
The winner tonight gets $100 cash. And where is that $100?
It's on my person. All right, you guys. Let's pull the first name of the person who's going to come on the stage. And you guys will write this underneath name number one. And you're going to pull that name, and that person's going to come on up to the stage and spin the wheel and tell a true one-minute story. Hannes, who's up?
Kevin McGeehan.
Kevin McGeehan, ladies and gentlemen. He's a writer and a performer. Originally from Florida, he moved to Chicago right after college, and he spent many years working as an actor for the Second City. He traveled all around the country with a national touring company at Second City, and now he resides here in Los Angeles. He is an improv instructor for the Second City Hollywood, where he also runs a bi-monthly storytelling show called Funny 'Cause It's True. And that is also a podcast. Can you imagine?
Unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
Okay, ready. 1, 2, 3.
Spin that wheel!
My mother was a single mother since I was 10 years old, and she always thought to herself that her son, because of her influence, was going to turn out gay, in her words. When I was 14 years old, she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was not what happened. We went on a vacation to Santa Cruz, California for an uncle's wedding, and they rented this very big house that was overlooking a private beach. All the family was reminiscing, and I was the only kid there, so I walked downstairs to this beach, and there was nothing going on, and I decided I'm going to leave. Then two women started walking into my viewpoint, and they put their stuff down, and then they proceeded to take off their clothes, just to their what I thought was their bathing suit, but then they took off all their clothes, and they were naked, and I sat back down on the sand and stayed there for 2 hours. And when my mother found out, she decided, great, he didn't turn out gay.
All right, Kevin McGeehan, hold on, Kevin, stay right here. First of all, please know that all the storytellers here are winners tonight, so please enjoy this story-worthy Whitman sampler of truth. Oh my
God. Yes.
Annabelle, what do you think of that vacation story?
I have a son. And I was hoping he would be gay. I don't really know yet, but I'm going to try to find naked women on our next vacation because he's 14. Maybe I'll know.
Yes. Okay, Kevin McGeehan, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Reaching into the bag of truth for contestant number two. Number two, ladies and gentlemen. It is Sharon Houston.
Sharon Houston, ladies and gentlemen. She is a stand-up comedian, an actress, a producer, and a writer. She has offered funny commentary on The Round Table with Chelsea Lately, E's Wildest Cop Show Moments, and GSN's Greatest Game Show Moments. Now, Sharon's stand-up TV credits include MTV, Comedy Central, VH1, and I like this one. Check this out.
Yeah.
You can pose if you'd like, Sharon.
Oh, she's posing. Very good.
In 2011...
Wait a minute. She's gotten completely naked. Whatever happened... Okay. Where she's under the impression that whatever happened in the first story is what you have to do. You don't have to do that. Put your clothes back on.
In 2011, she was chosen to showcase at the Women in Comedy Festival in Boston, Massachusetts. Also, the Ladies Are Funny Festival in Austin, Texas, and the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland, Oregon.
I have heard of all those cities.
I have heard of them as well. Interesting.
I have heard of women.
You can hear Sharon's hit podcast, Daytime Justice, which is all about daytime court TV, on iTunes. And, of course, you can find her at IamSharonHouston.com. Ladies and gentlemen, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
The category is prom. So the first prom I went to was, I was a junior. I went to the senior prom. And I went with a couple of the star football players on the team. Now, I knew we were going to get fucked up in, you know, the limo. And we were going to smoke weed and drink wild turkey. But I had no idea that everyone else at the prom would be on cocaine and ecstasy. I didn't know what ecstasy was. I knew what cocaine was because I watched Miami Vice. But I didn't know anything about this ecstasy thing. And everybody's pupils were right, and they were dancing, and they were like, I can feel the beat. I can feel the passion of the music. And I'm like, what's happening? Why is everyone on drugs? And here I thought I was the asshole. Or not the asshole, but I felt like I was the one that was like being alternative because I was the white girl at prom with two black dudes. Oh, no. It was the people on X who were really making a difference and being edgy.
All right, Sharon Houston.
4908, ladies and gentlemen.
Now that's a good time.
You have to take the sampler of truth you've already opened.
Please take your sampler of truth. What did you think about that, Annabelle? Did you go to the prom?
I was so stoned I couldn't find the prom. I grew up in Florida too, so we were lots.
Oh, commiserating between.
Gary, any thoughts? Did you go to the prom?
My girlfriend dumped me 3 weeks before the prom.
Ooh.
So then I had to go with a girl from the restaurant I worked at who didn't really like me.
And so how many proms did you go to?
Just the one.
One is enough, I'm thinking, in that story.
How many did you go to, proms?
Oh, I didn't go to prom.
I went to one.
Guys don't go to multiple proms.
Yeah, I went to one. I would think it was in ninth grade. And then I was way too
ninth
cool.
Ninth grade? That's not even a prom.
Oh, no. I think I went with an 11th grader. But then I was too cool, and that was that.
11th grade. You went with a college student. Let's face facts.
That's exactly right. Hey, you know what I want to mention, folks? If you want to support the show, now this is Shotgun Story-worthy. We know that.
Yes.
But we have another little show.
Just plain old story-worthy.
Story-worthy
where we're
the
just
podcast.
Folks, we wear a gingham and we whitewash fences. It's very exciting, and you should listen to that.
If you want to support us, what you do, because a lot of people don't have a lot of money, you know what I mean?
Right. You go to storyworthypodcast.com, you click on our Amazon link, you go to Amazon, and you buy your Civil War pornography.
Because everybody shops at Amazon anyway, right? But if you go through us, we make a couple of bucks.
Yeah. Not a whole lot, and we get a list of what you buy, and we judge it, but there are no names associated with you. So we're not judging you directly. We're just judging the sex toys that you have bought.
I do not get a list. I don't know what he's talking about. All right, who's coming up next, Hannes?
Why, let me see. My hand is on a piece of paper, and the piece of paper says, the voice of story-worthy Bill Ratner.
Bill Ratner, he told a story this month at the 2012 National Storytelling Festival Slam in Jonesburg, Tennessee. And he's one of America's most heard voices on movie trailers like Will Ferrell's The Campaign, Casa de mi Padre, Megamind, and Talladega Nights. Now, Bill is also the voice of Ambassador Donnell Udina in Mass Effects 1, 2, and 3. He also was the voice of Flint on G.I. Joe.
Yes.
Woo! I know. How about that?
Many people impressed by that.
That's right. He's also been the voice of Robot Chicken, and he's been a voice on Family Guy. Now, not only is he our story-worthy announcer, he's also an 8-time winner of the Moth Story Slam. Did you know that?
I did. And you know why? Because you told me.
Oh. All right. Well, let's see. He was selected the best of the Hollywood Fringe Festival 2012 for his solo storytelling. So now he's got a lot to live up to. Ladies and gentlemen, say it with
me. Yeah, no pressure.
Spin that wheel!
That's a professional spin right there. That's a deep-voiced, I used to be on a G.I.
Joe
cartoon.
I am so freaking drunk right now, Chris and Hanner. Kids,
So my daughter was 13 years old, and she had two sleepovers, and it was a Labor Day weekend, and she didn't deserve a third because she had homework. So we made a deal. We bargained. We negotiated. It was like a union negotiation to take her to Jill's house, and I'd pick her up at 11 o'clock. And I got there at 11 o'clock, and even Jill's dad said, oh, just let her sleep over. And I said, no. My daughter proceeded to hug about 35 people goodnight, which took a half an hour. Got in the car and screamed at the top of her lungs, I hate my fucking family. I hate my fucking family. And I didn't want to be, you know, weird or violent as a father. So I psychologically correct, I said, don't scream that at your daddy. And her response was, I hate my fucking family. I hate my fucking family.
All right, Bill Ratner, ladies and gentlemen. Here, wait, hold on, Bill. Don't forget your story-worthy Whitman sampler of truth. What'd you think of that story, Annabelle? Has your child ever sworn at you?
Oh, they're discussing. You've hit a chord of some kind.
Come live at our house and talk to our son, because he hates his fucking family, too. I want to give him just some a third voice in that.
Now, my daughter's only 5. I am so not ready to hear that she hates me. I think I'll die. I'll die.
You will die, but it's going to happen, so prepare yourself.
Now she says the cutest things, like this morning. She said, Mama, is it windy in all the states? I said, no, what are you, stupid? No, I didn't say that.
Yeah. All right, and right here is our, thank you, Bill Ratner, ladies and gentlemen. This is the red bag of audience truth, which contains the name of the audience member who will be our next person. Natalia Schroeder.
Natalia Schroeder and enjoys skinny skiing and going to bullfights on acid.
That sounds like something that would happen on, wasn't that from Caddyshack?
That was from Caddyshack. But just go with it, Hannes. It's a good bio. This contestant also enjoys golfing and Kenny Loggins. Please put your hands together for Natalia Schroeder.
Woo! All right, Natalia, come over and spin the wheel when we tell you to. Ready?
Spin that wheel!
Healthy spin, healthy spin. Have we rented a whole night? Because it might take a while for this spin to stop.
It's a very authoritative spin.
The topic is breakup. When I was 18 years old, I was involved with a man who was 25, and he was a rock and roll guy. And we dated for about 6 years, and then we had a really messy, painful breakup. I kind of kept dragging it out and dragging it out. There were several meetings at restaurants where I cried really loudly in public to his chagrin. And the final one involved my dad coming by, whereupon my father then presented me with a little bank book from Downey Savings saying, here's all the money that I've been stockpiling away for you for college. About $10,000 had been put in, and then it was quickly withdrawn, and he gave me $200 in interest that had accrued. Needless to say, the breakup at that point wasn't the priority. I turned to my boyfriend and I started crying again how much I needed him. And like a good guy, he was there for me and I put my head on his shoulder. Thanks.
All right, Natalia Schroeder.
5185. Wait, Natalia, wait for your sample box of truth.
Oh, please. Yes, have your Whitman sampler. What did you think of that story, Annabelle?
Oh, it reminded me of a lot of breakups in the past and perhaps some in the future.
All right, now we've got our fifth storyteller coming up. Who is that person, Hannes?
That person is Nikki Levy.
Nikki Levy. All right, Nikki Levy, folks. She serves as vice president of Wedge Works, a feature film production company with a deal at Fox Animation. Ooh. Now, she is currently in production on the Fox Animation 2013 release, Epic, starring Beyoncé Knowles. I've heard of her. And she's also worked
on the
Academy Award-nominated Frost Nixon and Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. She is the host and creator of Don't Tell My Mother, a very successful storytelling show right here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And it's making its debut in New York City on November 29th, so we look forward to that. You can find more about Nikki Levy at donttellmymother.com. Say it with me, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, a reverse spin. She went backwards. We're going back in time. It's just like Superman 1. Anybody?
Honest,
nerds? Anybody?
You know,
thank you.
I sold my gold to buy this wheel, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Meaning that I needed a game show more than I needed jewelry.
Well, I saw the jewelry. You needed a table more than you need that fucking jewelry. Jesus Christ. Too much?
Okay. The topic is mom. Every year on October 10th, since I can remember, my mother and I would reenact my birth. But it's not like we'd go to Sizzler, which is where she went before she went into labor and was rushed to North Shore Hospital in Great Neck. But we would actually reenact my birthing. My mother would sit on the white couch that used to be gray, and I would get on top of her and straddle her. And she would say, "It was 7:55, and Daddy rushed me to the hospital, and Dr. Krause told me to push, and so I pushed." And I would literally be on top of her, and she would push and push and push, and I would pop out like, ta-da! My mother and I did this every year for as long as I can remember. At carnivals, at my favorite Italian restaurant in Port Washington, we stopped when I was 20 years old, when I was about to do it in my sorority, with my sorority sister Amber Dow. Thank you very much.
Our Nikki Levy.
Nikki Levy.
Wow.
Reenacting the birth, ladies and gentlemen.
Annabelle, you've had a child. Would you ever reenact the birth?
You know, there was this day when my son was 12 and we were on the trampoline, and this is embarrassing. We reenacted his birth.
What did you do?
Exactly what she said, but we weren't at the Sizzler, and I do understand that impulse. It should be avoided at all costs. And
so
it's very
anything that this kid does wrong in the future, we can blame on that incident.
Exactly. Right.
So it's like a rebirthing. A rebirthing. Oh, my goodness.
It was a lot less expensive to reenact it.
I suppose it would be.
And it's probably not a little bit less poop. Just a little bit less poop.
Oh,
all right.
God,
and you know who wants to be associated with this story? Carolyn Brunetto, our Storyworthy's graphic designer. She's on a virtual style guide for Storyworthy, and we thank her.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carolyn.
We're just throwing out some thank yous tonight. She's not here, actually, honey.
She's not here. No,
but this
no,
is
no.
for the podcast.
This is for the podcast. This
yes.
is for the podcast for a story, anything with Storyworthy on it. She's got her fingers in the style pie.
It's interesting how complicated that gets. You would think like, oh, well, Christine, you have this little podcast, then just throw down some, you know, put your letters on together, Storyworthy, and that'll be that.
Well, that's
but
what most podcasts
so
do.
It's so complicated, man. There's like this version, then there's the 5-inch square, and then there's the banner, then our photos on it, then it's not, then she made a shotgun logo. So it's like a style guide.
Yeah, exactly. There's the pornographic version,
here's
which
what
we
I'm
haven't
saying,
launched
guys.
Yet.
Here's what I'm saying. It takes a village.
It does take a village of people who are willing to work for free.
That's
Am I right, Joe? I am.
All right, who's our next contestant, Hannes?
Our next contestant is former winner, Wendy Wilkins.
Wendy Wilkins. Wendy Wilkins, folks. She's an award-winning filmmaker, stand-up comedian, actress, and writer. Now, her first feature script, Backseat Debutantes, placed in the top 10 of the 2011 Final Draft Big Break Screenplay Contest, and most recently, her original comedy pilot, WNPC Campus TV, made the finals of the New York Screenplay Competition, as well as presented at the IO West Pilot Series. It is not easy to be recognized as a writer, am I right?
Especially as a woman in this town, am I right, ladies?
Hannes,
please. Thank you, sir.
You can catch Wendy in her original web series, How to Train a Boyfriend, at her website, www.yourbigsister.com.
Oh, I love Your Big Sister. She puts out fabulous tweets.
She also enjoys lemonade, but only the yellow kind. Ladies and gentlemen, say it with me.
What?
Spin that wheel!
Healthy spin, healthy spin.
You're Wendy right. did win Shotgun Storyworthy. I believe it was last year she won a prize.
1958.
April.
1958. She
April.
Won the 14th version of Shotgun Storyworthy. Bennett Cerf was our judge. Anybody? Bennett Cerf. Thank you.
The topic is breakup. So when I first moved to LA, I started doing stand-up, and one of the first thing I did was a Laugh Factory, and there was a bartender there, and I didn't have a car, so I accidentally lost 30 pounds, so I was looking really good. So he asked me out, and we went out on a date, and we fooled around, and when we're fooling around, he's like, do you want to do it? I'm like, no, we'll have more time. And then we never fooled around again. But we did every day we spent together for 6 months straight. And when I would get mad because I liked him and he didn't like me that way, I wouldn't talk to him. But like within 6 hours, he would call me and then we would be back to being friends. He moves to San Francisco. I go visit him there. I think I'm over him, right? And so I go there and I'm staying in the living room and he's in the next room over. And his girlfriend sleeps over. And I proceed the whole night to listen to him have sex with her. And so I call the airline the next morning. I ran out of the house. He left for work. I came back. I got, you have to get me out of here. You have to get me out of here. And they did. I got on the next flight.
All right, Wendy Wilkins, ladies and gentlemen, please take this candy with you. Annabelle Gurwitch, do you have any experience with, you know, visiting somebody in another city? Now, she said she was just friends with him, but obviously there was an expectation.
Well, I did have a boyfriend who broke up with me, and then I started dating his neighbor, and then I dated someone whose apartment bedroom looked into his apartment bedroom. So I guess you could call that stalking.
Wow.
Yes.
I think that might be stalking. Similar.
I think that that just sounds like good common sense.
Well, you know.
Well, you got to keep track of people. You can't trust people.
The amazing thing was I was able to do that in New York with real estate as it is. It was really.
So you were in reenacted Rear Window, basically, yeah. Looking into other
yes,
people's.
Yes, without the wheelchair.
I'd like to do a lot of references to things that no one under 40 would have any fucking idea what I'm talking about. That's what I.
Han, really there are enjoy. Only two storytellers left in this round.
That's
and
right.
Then we're going to go to the judges. They're going to tell us the four storytellers right. That are moving on to the next round.
Ooh, can you feel the tension?
You know what, Hannes, don't call it tension, because that sounds like a stressful thing. Call it excitement. You see the difference?
Okay. So, okay.
Who's
I'm
the
trying
next
to think
teller?
How I can use that in a sexual way. Can you feel, oh, I tore a piece of paper. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, he's got a middle name. It's Evan, who I've known since the first grade. Gore!
Evan Gore. Evan Gore, he's on his way up right now. Evan Gore, he's a comedy writer specializing in kids animation for the Disney Channel, Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, and outlets around the world. Currently, Evan has shows airing on the Hubbub Network, Pound Puppies, Littlest Pet Shop, and the Care Bears. I don't know why I have to read it like that.
You really don't. You're making us all sick.
All right. Previously, Evan was also the head writer on Emperor's New School, George of the Jungle, and Lilo and Stitch.
I've got a job. Blah, blah. Look at me. I'm in show business for real, you fucking assholes.
See, Hannes can say this because he's known Evan since the first grade.
That's right. And even then, he was like, someday I'm going to write cartoons.
Evan.
Fuck you.
He's an alum of the Chicago Second City Theater, the Aspen Comedy Festival, and he's currently microblogs for Twitter.com. Get that? Microblogs for Twitter. That's funny.
Microblog?
That's funny.
Somebody calls their penis.
All right,
thank
please,
you.
You guys, please, please, please follow him at Evan Gore there on the Twitter. All right, say it with me.
My topic is hired. And so they just mentioned that I write cartoons for a job. And I'm going to tell the story as quick as I can. But I get asked so often, how did you get your start as a cartoon writer? I was doing a comedy show with the Second City Alumni Players, because that's also part of my acting background in my old days. And Matt Groening of The Simpsons fame, through a connection, it became his weekly habit to come see the Second City Alumni Players that I was in. And he had a movie idea that he wanted to do, and he said, I want him, like four of us, and we just sat in a room for every week for a month and wrote a treatment for him that never got sold. And one thing led to another, and when I was out of work, I ended up writing a spec script for King of the Hill that got read by the Futurama team and got selected to be the top script. And, you know, Hollywood fantasies really do happen. One day you're not doing something, and the next day your life changes.
Oh, 1 minute exactly.
I love
look at that.
Oh, look at the time. That was a good time. What do you think about that, Annabelle? Your life changes in Hollywood quickly, doesn't it? You're working. You're not working. You're working. You're judging a game show in the middle of nowhere. What's going on?
Evan Gore and I were roommates, so I feel I have a conflict of interest.
Wow. I thought he was roommates with your husband.
Well, you sit on the face of the guy whose roommate he was. But that technically, legally, I think qualifies you as his roommate.
We're roommate adjacent.
All right, all right. Hannes, we've got one last storyteller here in the first round.
First round, ladies and gentlemen, it is, I think he knows who he is, the one and only Jim Coughlin.
Jim Coughlin. I always enjoy me some Jim Coughlin, I'll say that. Jim Coughlin, he's the youngest of five children, father of none. He was born in Alliance, Ohio, home of the Genie Garage Door Openers and Lenny Dawson, Hall of Fame QB for the Kansas City Chiefs. Jim Coughlin was raised in the suburbs of St. Louis, home of the winningest baseball team in the National League. He is an award-winning juggler and he can whistle, but that's not why he's here.
I hope it is. I hope he whistles for a minute.
You can follow him on Twitter at Mr. Jim Coughlin. Ladies and gentlemen, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
The topic is hired. So I'm hired by MGM, which has acquired Orion Films, and they've taken two actors and put them in charge of hiring a team of people to organize their legal files. So they hire their friends and their friends' friends and their friends' friends' friends, and I was the friends' friends' friends. We are talking about people getting organized file-wise and chaotic in their lives. There were people in character. There were people wearing costumes on a daily basis. We had walkie-talkies, rubber band fights. There were people sleeping on the job and around. It was fabulous, but all things must end. And so on Friday, they were going to announce that we're cutting it in half. Half of you would go into a room and find out whether you were fired or not. But a year earlier, I had put out a resume. They called me on Thursday morning. I interview Friday morning. Friday afternoon, I go in. I say, I don't care how it's going to turn out. I got hired. I start on Monday.
Jim Coughlin, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that's a powerful story. Take this, please. Take your story-worthy Whitman sampler.
I want to say, we've never
truth.
Had this before. 59 point. I heard the cocking of the shotgun, but it didn't go off.
Wow.
It was like he was that close to death.
But yet, no.
What?
Because I think the whole series, the cocking of the gun and then the gun, actually, is like a full 5 seconds.
Well, did someone actually cock a shotgun and that's what I heard?
Yeah, no, oh, you okay. did. No, it's okay. good, but he didn't get shot. So
he didn't
there's
get
no
shot.
Deduction
no, no, no,
there.
He did
no
not
deduction
get shot.
There. So now Annabelle and Gary, you can see
they're putting
very
their heads
hard
together.
At work. They're putting their heads together. They're
trying to figure out how they can leave early, not to judge the next
two
rounds.
They're looking at their scores. Now, look, Hannes, I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Say it again.
This storytelling game show, it's just like the singing show or the dancing show. Are you familiar with those?
I know, the singing and the dancing, I've been forced to watch those recently, and I'm feeling very not heterosexual about it.
I'm not a good singer, and I don't dance at all, but I can tell a story, so that's that was my thinking
right,
in this.
We wanted to have a game show for people with very little talent, and I think we've really hit something. No, it's a tremendous talent.
And
but
actually,
we
are working very hard on the home party edition, Shotgun Story Worthy, the home party edition.
Yeah.
So you'll get, and there'll be a wheel, and you'll spin it, and then you'll be able to play
right,
it
and
at
you
home.
Can, and you can have your friends come in and eat your food, or you can learn deep, dark secrets about them.
All right, now
come on,
here,
you know you want to hear deep, dark secrets.
In my left hand are the four contestants moving on. So, again, ooh, they're going to go back into the story-worthy bag of truth, and then these four people will be coming up once again randomly. One of the persons coming back up will be Kevin McGeehan. Clapping is free. Clapping is free. Somebody else coming up is Bill Ratner. Bill Ratner's coming back up. Evan Gore's coming back up. And Nikki Levy's coming back up.
All right, we've got quite a mix here.
Okay, so those four people are coming back up. They're going to spin that wheel again, and they're going to tell a true two-minute story. Now, if they happen to land on the exact same topic as the previous round, we defer to the topic to the left of that. Does
right.
that make sense?
So if you land on the same topic, look to the one to the left, and that is what you'll be. Is that clear, everybody?
Everybody
have too much watermelon schnapps? Are we not clear on this? Okay,
judging is hard. I wanted to say judging is hard.
Well, it moves quickly, doesn't it, Annabelle?
Well, there's just something great about every story, so judging is hard.
Okay, good. I like it.
It is. We love you. We know that you're all in show business, and your egos are very fragile.
All right, here we go.
But I don't want anybody hurting themselves.
The first contestant coming up to tell a two-minute story, so really, it's twice the fun, and it's twice as long. The first contestant is...
twice the excitement, Nikki Levy, ladies
Nikki
and gentlemen.
Levy. Nikki Levy, once again, folks, we know her. You know her. She is the vice president of Wedgeworks. And you can find her at DontTellMyMother.com.
Don't tell my mother that I can't.
Oh, Jesus, that's a healthy spin.
She went a back. She did the back now, and forth, back and forth, and then the spin. Too.
This is from Promo Wheels in Riverside. That's who made the wheel. Promo Wheels in Riverside.
I think it's speeding up. Is that possible?
If I had had another $250, I could have gotten magnetic topics. Wouldn't that have been cool?
That would have been great.
Then I could have switched.
You should have had more. Wait, by the way,
I don't have that.
Now you have to use Velcro. Well, look like,
now I use Velcro. That's exactly right.
Here we go. Here we go.
The topic is school days. She had frizzy Jew hair and wore Banana Republic tees like all the girls at Junior High School 67 in Bayside, Queens. And a nameplate right here that said Steffi in diamonds. I remember her lunch. Her mother packed it in this brown paper bag with a turkey sandwich perfectly wrapped in tin foil and those yellow box of Bachmann's pretzels and this great Capri Sun. And my mother threw tuna fish, literally emptied tuna fish, onto white bread and threw that in a plastic bag along with some strawberry wafers that by lunchtime resulted in sort of like a microcosm of the ocean, whereby the wafers would expand to look like sea anemones. And nobody wanted to eat with me. And I didn't have a lot of friends. But I had set my sights on Steffi, whose last name I almost told you. And I remember I tried so hard to be best friends with her. I would actually make up reasons to need a friend. Like, I had just gotten my period, and I thought she'd be a great person to teach me how to use a tampon. And despite telling her that I was, you know, a visual learner, she made me stand on one side of the bathroom door while she stood on the other, and then just was like, you know, pull it in and push. And I'm like, no, I need a tutorial. And then she told me just to read the directions on the back of the box. She also had a best friend. Despite my trying to be her friend, her best friend, we ended up at her house one day playing war on her bedroom floor, which is something we started doing sort of after school because both of our moms picked us up late. And I did the cardinal sin, which is that while we were playing, I looked down her shirt. She never talked to me after then. And I realized much later, actually in college, that she wasn't just my best friend, but she was the first woman I ever loved. And that was back in eighth grade.
Oh, Nikki Levy, that was a lovely story.
Yeah, it was a lovely story.
I had the exact same experience the first time I used a tampon.
Yeah.
Gary, that's dirty. Annabelle, anything you want to share?
Are you glad that somebody else told the dirty story?
Was it Steffanie with an I or a Y? Was it an I? I-E, yes.
Oh. What, you know a Steffanie like this?
Absolutely. There was a Steffanie in every class, every single one.
Yeah, wow. She was. They called her the Les Tees, I tell you.
I think it's kind of hot.
It is a little bit hot.
Who is coming up next at Hannes to tell another
2-minute
story?
It is Evan Gore.
Evan Gore.
Coming up for the second round.
Since
the second
grade.
Round. 2-minute stories.
As we know, Evan Gore, a comedy writer. You can follow him at Evan Gore. He's walking over to the wheel.
I had to stop and tell Nikki how good her story was.
That was really sweet of you. Nice kiss ass. All right, here you guys go.
Good.
Say it with me.
Spin that wheel.
Passport.
Passport.
That's right. I have developed a habit for losing things. Earlier this evening, before this broadcast began, I discovered that I had lost my car keys, we're not in a great neighborhood, so I luckily found them. They were in my car, thanks to Storyworthy's producer. But recently, I was in the great country of South Korea. I was in Seoul about a month ago. And I had taken the a shuttle to the airport from my hotel after doing some work there for about a week. And I arrive at the gift shop, and I have to quickly collect souvenirs because, in addition, the main reason I went there, according to my family, was to bring them back souvenirs. I've got a couple little kids and a little kid wife. And I collected a bunch of things at the souvenir shop only to discover a smooth part where my ass is and my wallet was gone. Yes, that's right. And so I quickly got on the phone to my local contacts who said, "Do you have your passport?" And luckily I did, but I was freaking out. And something that happens when you're in another country, because I should mention that 2 weeks after I came home, I lost my wallet at the American Red Cross and have never gotten it back. So since losing my wallet in Korea, I lost my wallet in Altadena, California at the Red Cross and did not get it back. But when I was in Seoul at the airport, having taken this shuttle, after panicking, I had gone to the information desk. I had found my way back to the desk where the shuttle bus was. All I did was I got up and I didn't look back. I described my wallet and doggone it, there it was, wrapped in a rubber band at the airport in Seoul, South Korea. And in the wallet I lost at the Red Cross, I had to get everything replaced.
All right, the Evan end. Gore, that's a good story.
It happened.
I can't believe you just used your passport a month ago. When was the last time you used your passport, Hannes?
It's been a long time. I think what Evan's story really illustrates is any place is better than Altadena.
I don't know what that means. Oh, thank you to the lovely Lisa Severin.
Well, no, in Altadena he lost his wallet, but the Koreans, they're good people.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They're good folk.
You know, once I was in Bangkok, and I
Bangkok.
And I had my purse thing with me or whatever, and we're in the back of a cab, and we're going to the airport to leave the country. And I'll tell you, the traffic in Bangkok is so crazy bad
Bangkok.
That they actually have, like, mini toilets to use in the car and stuff because the traffic is forever, right? So I fell asleep in the car, and then my friend was like, wake up, we're at the airport. And we get out of the car, and guess who left everything in the cab? Gone.
Evan Gore? No,
you. Everything, my passport, my wall, everything, wow. All my money, everything was in that cab. And
wait, now, Annabelle, did you look like you had something to say about that last story.
I'm just really jealous that he was in Seoul. I just feel left out. You were in Bangkok. He was in Seoul. Why aren't I going anywhere except west of La Cienega?
It's not a bad place to be. Look, we're all getting along.
All right.
Hey, before you call another storyteller, I do want to thank a few people here tonight, including Jason Wallace. Jason, thank you for all your help tonight. Also, Rebecca Wallenzak, thank you for your help tonight. Sherry Lee Wendusky, wherever you are, thank you again. It takes a village, we know this. And who is coming up next, Hannes?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin McGeehan.
Kevin McGeehan. Kevin McGeehan, as you know, he's a writer and a performer. He's the guy who has another podcast called Funny Because It's True.
That's right. And so, we will be the judge. We will go on and leave, and we will say, I think it was funny, but not true. I think it wasn't funny, but it was true. No,
so
I'm
his
kidding.
Story,
we'll leave
his stories, I think they're all funny, is what I'm saying.
And true.
And
we
true.
Hope to God. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it.
Spin that wheel!
These guys can spin, am I right? It's not a difficult spin. Well, that's because Promo Wheels in Riverside know how to make a wheel, Kevin.
I don't know, I knew that.
Wow, dropping the Riverside name again.
Mom is my category. When I was 10 years old, my parents divorced. And when I was 11 years old, that was our first Christmas where it was just myself and my mother. Through some sort of strange communicable mishap, we both ended up with infectious mononucleosis that Christmas. And were quarantined to the house the 2 weeks surrounding Christmas, so she could not go out and get presents for me. So the first year my father's gone and we're vomiting and things, it was just not a great Christmas for her. So she was always one to instill imagination with me, and she did this thing where she decided she's going to make the best out of this Christmas. She decided, I'm going to make a treasure hunt for him. And since she didn't have gifts, she got books that we already owned in the house and wrapped them and then created this elaborate treasure hunt for me to get up on Christmas morning and find all of these gifts. I got up and I was very excited because I did not know what I was going to be getting. So I get up, I get the first clue and I run and I figure it out and then I find a book we already own. So I run to the next clue, and I discover once again a book we already owned. And as an adult, I look back on all that, and I just think that was absolutely just a very cool thing and making the best out of a bad situation. But as an 11-year-old kid, I fucking hated it. We made amends. It all worked out fine. And I said thank you.
All right, Kevin McGeehan, ladies and gentlemen. How were your Christmas growing up?
I think we're, yes.
Annabelle, how were your holidays, I should say?
I'm going to defer to Greg.
Gary, how are your holidays growing up?
Gary, whatever.
Gary,
I'm
Greg.
I'm on my second glass of wine here, folks. Gary, go.
I skipped out on the holidays this year because I was out of the country.
Really? What do you mean? You have four children. Do you have holidays for them?
We do have holidays for them. And they get both holidays because we're Jewish, but my wife's family's Christian, so they get the best of both worlds.
Wait a minute, the way you said that, did your wife convert to Judaism?
Yes, she did.
Did she really? That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
I hope this isn't blasphemous, but you must have some skills, my friend.
I have three ex-girlfriends who converted after dating me.
Wow. So people change their prophet because they fuck you?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. The prophet word is the only one I have to disagree with, but yes.
Wow, those are big words.
Those are big words, and that
I've never done that for anybody.
Yeah, well, apparently you haven't been with the right circumcised guy.
That's right.
Have you ever been with an uncircumcised man, Christine?
Many times.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
what about you, Hannes?
I have not.
A few.
Although I love the George Costanza joke, which is like, I'm my roommate in college. I got used to it. Like, that was the big... But no, that's right. You dated an Englishman, I believe, and they don't cut it.
I dated the European nations. Why? Wow, you don't get to 46 years old and not fuck a few Europeans. You know what I'm saying about?
Yes, I know what you're saying.
You know, by the way, when Czechoslovakia divided up into Slovakia and the Czech Republic, you had to go back and fuck two more guys because it became two other countries.
I always liked the uncircumcised thing because I grew up in Miami Beach. So, you know, it was nice at a certain point in my life, my 20s in New York and everywhere else.
Well, because also when it's erect, it does look the same. It's not like it's always in that turtleneck.
Something different, a little something, a little extra.
That's what I'm thinking. All right, we have another storyteller coming up to do a two-minute story in this round.
Right.
Who's that?
Bill Ratner, ladies and gentlemen.
Bill Ratner's coming up. Woo! Bill Ratner. You'll remember Bill Ratner. He's the voice of Storyworthy.
Right. He should not be following this horrible discussion.
No, this man is a talent. You know that, and I know that. Gosh darn it, I've heard his voice everywhere. And now we're gonna say it to him. Here we go.
Spin that wheel.
Passport. So I went with my family to the People's Republic of China in 1993, and we took this boat down the Yangtze River, and there were speakers in every single room, and it was a throwback to the Mao era where there were speakers everywhere, and you were told to get up and sing and get up and salute and all this, and I wanted to take a nap, so I had a Swiss Army knife with a little scissors, and I actually used the screwdriver, and I took the speaker plate off, and I clipped the wires permanently. And it was quiet in my room. And then the last night in Beijing, I finished a book called The New Emperors about Deng Xiaoping and Mao Zedong, and became totally paranoid that they were going to come after me, that they were going to discover the speaker wires had been cut, and they could certainly trace me, and because they knew exactly what hotels we were going to. You had to fill it all out, so they knew exactly where we were. And we get to the airport to leave, Beijing Airport, and the man looks at my passport, and he says, "It's not you." And I said, "It is me, it is me. I am me, there's my picture, it's me. It is not you." And he pointed to my signature. And originally, my signature, like you learn in fourth grade, is your first name, your middle name, and your last name. My signature had deteriorated between the time I'd gotten my passport in 1984, and it was 1993, from William G. Ratner to Will G. Rat. Is not you. And I asked if I could have the passport back, and he said no. And I said, could you show me the passport? And he showed it to me, and it said William G. Ratner. So I wrote, William G. Ratner. And he said, "At you."
Right. Bill Ratner, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Ratner.
Bill Ratner.
Okay, now once again, the judges are going to be talking, discussing, etc., and they're going to hand us back two storytellers' names. That'll go back in the bag.
I can feel the excitement.
Excitement. By the way, he just told that passport story, and it reminded me a little bit about that show, Locked Up Abroad. Have you seen that?
Yes, you have forced me to watch Locked Up Abroad.
God, I love that show. I swear to God. I mean, I'm not going to do heroin, you know, in Thailand anytime soon.
Right.
But boy, I love
Thailand,
to learn
no.
about it.
Altadena, sure.
Yeah, I love like they store drugs in like Buddha statues, and they try to get a or they're putting like balloons of heroin up their hoo ha, crazy stuff.
Why? I don't know why you want to hear these horrible stories about things that could happen to you.
Because then I think like, oh my gosh, look at that. They're in some Sinhalese prison, and I'm not. Look how good my life is.
You just need to drive to, Riverside, the home of Promo Wheels, to say, hey, I'm better off than those people.
Locked Up Abroad. It's a good show. That's all I'm saying.
Locked Up in Riverside. Hey, that is a show I would watch.
We also want to tell folks that we are now performing Shotgun Story Variety. Right. This little number that you're looking at right now, we're actually performing it for house parties.
That's right.
So forget getting a DJ. Forget your karaoke. Let's hear some personal stuff about your friends.
That's right. They will reveal their secrets. You know why? It's the Wheel of Truth.
That's right. So you can learn more at shotgunstoryworthy.com. We talk about how you can have us at your house party.
And we even have a kids version. Tell us about that.
Oh, my gosh. We do have a kids version, but now I'm too excited because there's two names in my hands.
Oh, here it is.
And these are the two names that are going back into the Wheel of Truth. This is the final round, Hannes. This is the round that could change people's lives.
Forever. Wait, that's not going to happen.
Probably not, but they're going to be $100 richer. It's either going to be Kevin McGeehan or Nikki Levy. That's who it's going to be.
Okay. I'm shaking.
Kevin McGeehan or Nikki Levy.
I'm shaking the canvas bag, which does not really do a very good job
but
of mixing anything.
But this is exciting. Now we're going to learn a little. We're going to learn a little more about these folks. You already know a little bit about them, but now we're going to know more. And remember,
how can we know more?
Well, they're going to spin the story where they wheel of truth. If they land on the same thing again, we defer to the left. Am I right?
Yes, correct.
All right, so here we go. Third
round. And
then
they're going 3 minute stories.
3 minute story. Who's coming up?
If this were one of those shows, it'd be like when we edit it, you know, when we have network money, it'll be da, 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 da,
da. There'll be big lights that'll come down.
85 minutes. This guy, this guy, this guy.
That's right.
And then you go Kevin McGeehan.
And then we'll go to a commercial. That's right. Kevin McGeehan. Kevin McGeehan's coming back up.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is the guy. I don't even have to look at the bio because I know the man. He has a podcast.
I feel like I know more about him than I know about my own family.
It's like he has stories, like, in his head. That's what it seems like.
It doesn't look like that. And then he pulls them out of his ass. It's unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go, folks. Say it with me.
Spin that wheel.
God damn, he spins a good wheel. Am I right?
He does. He's got it all on the wrist. Circumcised, uncircumcised? Oh, I'm sorry. That's never mind. Cool. Sorry, that came out of nowhere.
Yes. Gladly, proudly, strongly.
Hired. When I was in college, I didn't need a job at first because my mother always instilled in me that you start working when you're able to. So on my 16th birthday, I went and got a job at a grocery store. And one of the requirements was that I could not spend any more than 30% of my paycheck. So for years, I worked at this grocery store and saved up enough money that I never had to work in college for the first year. But then suddenly things changed and money was a necessity and I had to get a job. There were no jobs hiring, or at least for my very, very limited skill level. So I had to go outside of Gainesville, Florida, which is where I went to college, and I had to find a restaurant job at Outback Steakhouse. And they were opening up one in Ocala, Florida, which is nowhere. And it took me about 30 minutes to get there. And because this was a restaurant that had never been opened before, they were building it, and they were hiring a complete staff off of... just applicants that were coming in, and there were hundreds of us vying for every job possible in that restaurant. So there were many sects of people that were coming into this. So on the first day, I took my test, my written test that you have to take to pass to the next round for the Outback Steakhouse preliminary challenge. And I answered all the things on my test, and it was like, this is a scale. Here are things on this scale. How much does this weigh? And it was an arrow pointing to 8. So that was the extent of the written test I had to take. And I will say, not trying to brag, but I passed it. So the next round, I come back to the next day, which is I'm going to be interviewed by a woman in a little trailer that's located on the property as they're building the restaurant. And I sit with this woman, and I don't really want this job, but I'm doing it as an appeasement to the fact that A, I'm poor, but B, my mother, who was stopped sending me money. So I sit in this room with this woman, and she gives me these hypothetical questions. And one of them I will never forget. Jose comes to you and says, everyone in the kitchen is upset with the front of the house staff. He is saying, and he cites all of these things that are wrong. What do you say to Jose? So then I had to give my response. So all I could think in that moment was to be a smartass who did not want this job. And I looked at her and I said, just so I'm clear, is Jose Chinese? And I swear to God, she looked at me and then looked down at her pad and said, it doesn't say. I was hired 2 days later as a busboy.
All right, Kevin McGeehan, ladies and gentlemen.
2 minutes, 52 seconds.
Kevin McGeehan. It's like he knows how to tell a story, am I right?
Well, thank God for us.
I know, I'm telling you. Hey, folks, here's an idea. You go home and you go onto the computer. You folks have the computer, don't you?
Sure, the computer, the iPad, the pad, the mini, tablet.
And you go to iTunes is what you do, and you write the Storyworthy podcast. You write us a good review.
Please.
Believe it or not, that really helps, doesn't it, Hannes?
It does, because it moves us up and down the scale. And it makes us visible to people.
Exactly.
And people take that shit really seriously.
They do.
So if there's good reviews, it helps us. So please,
and it keeps our yellow logo. You know that yellow logo we have, right?
Right, with our properly color schemed logo.
Exactly.
That's the five by five square, I believe.
It keeps us on the front page. You know what they put us under on iTunes, Hannes?
Yeah. What?
And this might be a mistake. They put us under society and culture.
Ah, society. I'm going with culture. Not so much.
Not so
with
much.
All the
Nonetheless,
penis jokes.
That's what we're under, and yeah. You know, we're happy about that. So you
all
write
right.
us a review,
Here
and we will
is.
Appreciate it.
All right, it's our final story of the evening in our final round. The tension. I'm sorry, the excitement is building, ladies and gentlemen. Nikki Levy,
folks. She's got a great storytelling show. It's called Don't Tell My Mother. She's had it in different venues all over the city, and she's actually going to New York with it. So that will be great fun for you. Nikki, good luck with that. Don'tTellMyMother.com. That's where you can find her, and we'll all say it together. Here we go.
Spin that wheel.
A three-minute story. 3 minutes,
wow,
on it.
She's really pushing on the spinning of the wheel. I'm actually getting a nice breeze from the wheel. I feel good about that. Between the buzz from the watermelon schnapps and the moving air, everything is a blur to me.
I think everybody wants to see virginity, don't they? That's what people want to see.
Okay, the subject is prom. So it was 1995 at junior high school 67 in Bayside, Queens. And oh no, sorry, it wasn't. It was 1995 in Cardozo High School in Bayside, Queens. And I was not popular. I was also fat. And I looked everywhere for a dress, and I found one that had both taffeta and chiffon, and I looked like, you know, 50 pounds of sugar in a 5-pound sack. I was set up because I didn't have any, you know, male friends. I barely didn't have a lot of female friends. And I was set up with this nice guy from Forest Hills High School who really didn't want to go with me to this date. I found a couple of people who needed basically two more people to share their limousine with. So I was, you know, invited to join that motley crew. So the limousine came, even for like 1995, this limo was like from 1989. And I was paying like $80. So actually this was fucked up. Like this limousine didn't even have the limousine car phone that it should have had in 1995. So anyway, so we're in the limo and we get there. And, you know, everybody's dancing and hanging out. And I'm sitting there with Adam, the kid from Forest Hills High School, at the table. Everybody else is dancing, and they're doing the electric slide. And I'm just sitting there. And the you know, the DJ and I'm sitting there, you know, we're you know, non-alcoholic. Oh, by the way, we didn't smoke weed there. I didn't smoke weed till I was, like, 21. So we were so stone-cold sober. And so the DJ comes on the mic, and, you know, he's like, can I have everyone's attention? And I'm just hoping for, like, a reprise of Spin Doctors, Two Princes, or something like that. And he's like, can I have your attention? Can Nikki Levy come to the front? And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, like, did I win something, you know? And I was pretty good in school, and I was thinking maybe, you know, maybe now I'm sort of getting my due, and I didn't make the yearbook, but perhaps I was being recognized at the prom. And then he says, will Nikki Levy please come to the mic? And I start walking, and I'm kind of hopeful. And he says, your mommy's on the phone! And I'm like, fuck! And I'm like, and then I'm thinking, something happened. So I get up and I'm running in my, you know, sausage taffeta chiffon dress with the beads from Estelle's Dressy Dresses and Rosalind. And I get to the phone. I'm like, Mommy, what's the matter? What's the matter? She's like, nothing. I just wanted to make sure everything was okay. I didn't hear from you. And I'm like, everything's okay. And everything's not okay. You embarrassed me in front of everybody. And then I hung up on the, you know, I hung up on the phone and we proceeded to go to Fire Island that night, you know, with the rest of the crew. And everyone hung out and he wouldn't even kiss me. And then I got home and I didn't talk to my mom for like 2 days. I'm like, my high school was a mess. You have made it like a fucking disaster. It is a disastrous experience now. Anyway, that's why I went 3,000 miles away to college about 2 months later. Thank you.
Okay, Nikki Levy, ladies and gentlemen. A great time.
250, 92.
I did not hear the shotgun a lot tonight. Did you hear the shotgun a lot?
No, especially in the later rounds.
People really know how to keep within the limit, don't
they're
they,
right. People do not like to be shot with shotguns, which apparently is really... That's all we had at the beginning. We had a dream and a fear of shotguns. And we said, how can we turn that into a game show?
Okay, so these
by
guys
the way,
are
whatever they're don't do that. When Alabama goes to the prom, don't call her.
I will not call her. I'll text her.
By the time she goes, you'll be able to project a holographic image of yourself out of her cell phone.
And I'll just be able to push into the air like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Don't let him touch your bathing suit parts.
Oh, wow.
The winner tonight gets $100. You know that.
I do.
That's a lot of money.
Where is that $100?
Well, it's here on my person.
We'll
find it in a moment. What do we want to do? We want to ask them who the weather. They're
all
still
right.
busy.
They're arguing. Wow, there's a lot of paper being. Wow, there's
they're
arguments.
They're fighting.
They're fighting. It's good. I see a lot of sexual tension over there. It's like the it's like the early episodes of Moonlighting before they got together.
I want to remind you guys.
Thank you. Another reference no one fucking cares about. Thank you.
This book, You
Thank
say tomato,
you.
I shut up. It's a really, really
it's a very funny,
funny
book.
Funny
and
read,
dirty
you guys.
In a fun way.
Also, I want to thank John Thomas Griffith. He's a good friend of mine, and he has this great CD out.
Never heard
Apples
of him.
And Onions. This guy has got some serious
and
talent.
And let's thank the people here at Cafe Vaderdo. Isn't this place great, ladies and gentlemen? Come
Amanda.
On, let's hear it.
Thank
it's
you,
so
Amanda.
Gorgeous. It's
absolutely.
Like you're in New Orleans.
Gary and I have duked it out.
Wow.
They have. All right. We're going to ask you guys to give me the name of the winner.
She
I'm going to read that person. Mm-hmm. You come on up. You're going to get the $100, and then we're going to thank a few more people, and we're going to wrap it up. Am I right?
Exactly. All right, here's... Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh my gosh, I can't even take it. I can't take it. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner tonight of Shotgun Storyworthy is Kevin McGeehan.
Oh!
Kevin McGeehan!
Unbelievable!
Come on up, Kevin!
The Irish control show business. That's the only answer.
Wait, I swear to God, I can't find this money.
You know, I feel like Kevin had a slightly unfair advantage in a certain respect because I'm a mother, and both of his stories involved a mother.
May I add one addendum to mine that'll melt your heart?
Please, melt our hearts.
I hope that it makes her so sick she takes away your crown. That would be awesome.
So as you know, she did that treasure hunt when I was 11. And then 24 years later, and what ended up being her last birthday, we knew that for a fact that was going to be. And I surprised her that morning with a treasure hunt. And what she found all throughout the house were books we already owned.
Oh, that is so funny, Kevin.
Okay, I got to
say.
I'm going
to go to the bathroom, and I'm going to find that money.
The money was supposed to be in Christine's bra.
And I apologize.
She's feeling herself all over the stage, can't find the money.
Don't put the money there. And I said, no, man, it's tight, man. It's totally tight. And now it's gone.
It could have gone. I think that Kevin deserves to look for it. I don't know. That's
just me. I'm
going
to find it. You guys, I would like to thank all of the storytellers tonight. Jim Coughlin.
Yes.
Evan Gore. Sharon Houston. Nikki Levy. Bill Ratner. Wendy Wilkins. Natalie Schroeder, our audience member.
Yay, audience member.
I'd also like to thank Club Fadodo and, of course, Amanda. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you, Amanda.
I'd also like to thank Joe Slepsky. He's our producer. And, of course,
cheers for Joe.
Jorge Reyes up there. He's our sound engineer. I'd also like to give a special thanks to our judges, Gary Buckler and, of course, Annabelle Gerwich.
Yes.
You can find Gary on Twitter at thestayathomedad.com. No, just at thestayathomedad.
Duh.
And then you can find Annabelle at AnnabelleGerwich.com. And of course, I'd like to thank John Thomas Griffith, who wrote Follow Me. That's the theme song to Storyworthy. And he also wrote this jingle you're hearing right now.
It's a wacky jingle.
It is a wacky jingle. And on behalf of all the storytellers, and of course you, Hannes Finney,
me,
my
Hannes
dear
Finney.
Co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
USA.
Thanks for being a part of Shotgun Storyworthy.
This show will be up as a podcast next Monday, November 5th. Don't forget to subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes. And a special thanks to those listeners who take the time to comment on iTunes. Good night, everybody!
It's warm and sweaty.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.